Today, we're talking about the book of Ruth. Would anyone say that this is their favourite book in the Bible? One, two, maybe one of your favourites? Yeah, it's a lovely book, the book of Ruth. And we've heard the beginning bit. And what happens after that is Ruth and Naomi go back to her hometown and they're hard up. They're finding it difficult to make money or to survive, really. And so Ruth goes to a field, and where the harvesters are all working, she picks up the bits that they've left behind. And the guy who owns the field, he notices her. And, you know, he's drawn to her and her qualities. And Ruth, in turn, recognises that he's a guy of great integrity and generosity. I'll unplug it and plug it in again. And so he's this guy of great integrity and generosity, and she's drawn to him, and she goes home. Just let me plug this in. She goes home, and she says to Naomi, there's this man Boaz, and Naomi says, he's one of our relatives. And if we play this right, to put it in a modern way, he'll marry you. And they get married, and they all live happily ever after. And it's a great story. Okay? And this isn't going to work, is it? Despite the plugging in and plugging out again. How annoying. It worked before the service when we did that. But never mind. So it just says at the moment, the book of Ruth. So the title for today, don't drop that, is Stay or Leave. Okay, so we're going to look at the beginning of the story, but to get the complete lessons from the choices made at the beginning of the story, I feel like we also need to know the end of the story. So what do we learn from the book of Ruth? This would all come up really nicely now. So we're going to look at what it shows us about how we make decisions. Decisions like stay or leave. We're going to look at the decision that Ruth and her sister-in-law made and what we can learn about how to make decisions. How we make decisions displays our character. And then we're going to look at the place of faith in our decisions. And finally, how God relates to us in and through our choices. So the first thing is how to make decisions. So the other thing to distract you is I've still got this dry mouth condition going on. So just excuse me while I take mouthfuls of water to help with that. So, how do we make decisions? At the beginning of the story, we hear about a decision that was made. So Elimelech, try saying that. Well done, Eileen. Where is she? Elimelech. I have to practice that. And his wife, Naomi, decided to leave Bethlehem because there was a famine, and they decided to move to Moab. Now, what do you think of that decision, first off? Of course, it's hard to judge because we don't know all that was involved. To move your family to a place where there's food, a better income, you might say, is a good reason. One maybe many of us have taken, perhaps. Move your family where the job is better, the pay is better elsewhere, so you move. But to look at the repercussions of this decision, we need to look at what we know about the Moabites. Well, the Moabite nation was born out of a relationship of incest. So two of the daughters of Lot, who escaped the destruction of Sodom, got their father drunk on purpose so that they could get pregnant because there were no other men around. Your jaw's dropping now. Not a pretty beginning. And then the Moabites worshipped a different god, and they were known to exercise child sacrifice. And God made it clear he was angry with them and to stay away from them. So what do we now think? Elimelech and Naomi moved to Moab. And what do you know? Their sons fell in love with Moabite women and married them. So we can see already that the decision of the parents, perhaps for what seemed perfectly reasonable reasons, were resulting in choices that the children then made that maybe, we don't know, but maybe wasn't what Elimelech had meant their children to take. And I'm sure some of us will have made decisions that seem good and right at the time. But on reflection, we can see that those decisions led our children to ending in a place where they no longer had a relationship with God. Now, I don't say this with rebuke or with condemnation. It's just an observation that came to me when I read the passage. And if you feel a reaction to that, if you do feel sort of guilt or shame or anything about that, or regret that you're holding on to, maybe come and talk to one of the ministry team at the end of the service and they'll pray with you about it. But one thing we can learn is maybe we need to consider our decisions in the light of how will this impact my family's spiritual life, as much as we consider how it impacts our economic life. Will this decision cause them to grow closer to God? Or will it cause them to grow further away from God? So the next thing I see is the importance of character. So we've talked about this before, that God is interested in our character just as much and perhaps more than he's interested in what we do. So what do we learn about Naomi's character? I think we can surmise from what we read in the first chapter that Naomi was a good mother-in-law. In verse 6, we read that Naomi and Ruth and Orpah set out to go back to Judah, which was Naomi's homeland. On the way, Naomi says to her daughters-in-law, "Go back to your mother's homes, where you have more chance to find another husband to provide for them." And Ruth, Orpah, and Naomi all break down and weep at the mention of them going separate ways. Now, you don't get that kind of love expressed towards a mother-in-law who's critical, or who thinks you're not good enough for my son, or who's maybe overbearing and tries to interfere in the relationship, that usurp maybe the place of the wife's affections in her son. Does that make sense? Anyway, whatever. I think we can surmise that they aren't the behaviours that were evident in Naomi's relationships with Ruth and Orpah. And by reading on in the chapter, we learn that when Naomi returns home, the entire town were excited by her arrival. And also her name means pleasant. So I suggest she was pleasant. People looked forward to seeing her. The two ladies loved her. She was mature and she was selfless. But I've jumped ahead. Let's go back to the scene where the three women are clinging to each other and crying. Naomi is telling them to leave, and they have to decide what to do. And I want to help to bring this scene more to life for you. The title of the talk is Stay or Leave. And it's very easy to look at the scene and quite objectively and say, yeah, Ruth chose to stay and Orpah chose to leave, without realizing the intensity of the situation. So let me tell you a story. Shall I take a drink? Maybe I should. We were on holiday a few weeks ago, and something happened, and their permission to tell you. We were going away with our son Dominic and his wife Katie, and we were going to Peru to celebrate Dominic's 30th birthday. And we were flying from Aberdeen to Amsterdam, they were flying from Humberside to Amsterdam, and then we were all flying to Peru. And when we land, they landed a bit ahead of us, Paul gets on the phone and he says, "How was your flight? Where are you? We'll meet with you." And Dominic says, "The flight was fine, but we're outside lost and found because Katie's lost her passport." So we go along and I find Katie and I give her a hug and she's already upset. And I'm just thinking, it'll be in one of your pockets. It'll be in your backpack. But it wasn't. So we then had to go to immigration. And immigration say to, "Oh, you can ring the embassy, the British embassy, maybe you can go out to The Hague and blah, blah." And that didn't work either. So eventually, the immigration office say to her, we'll send you back to Humberside. Now, time's going on, as you can imagine. All this is taking time. We're on a connecting flight. And we have to decide, are we going or are we not? And Dominic and Katie in particular have to decide, is he going back with her or is he going on? It's his birthday. And if they went back, they'd lose the cost of his flight as well as her flight. And if they booked again, it was all going to cost a fortune. So Katie made it easier, a bit like Naomi, saying, you must go, you can't miss out because of me. And she told me that internally, her heart just wanted to say, yes, okay, Dom, come home with me. But her brain said, no, he has to go. It's not fair to him to make him miss out on a trip that actually was all about him. But it was definitely an internal struggle to her to let him go. But it was a sensible thing to do. Paul and I went off to the gate, to the flight, leaving them some privacy to say goodbye. And then Dom comes running up with what he describes as ugly crying. And he sits and sobs and we're all crying. And he just feels like his heart's been ripped out of him. As his wife goes back home in this awful situation, really, and he goes on. But finally he goes, no one's died. Let's just get on the plane. So we get on the plane. And even though occasionally he'd fill up again as he thought of things they were going to miss out on, because he wasn't doing it with his wife, he was doing it just with his mum and dad. To stay or leave, which was the right thing to do? Can you get the emotion of it now? Can you feel that for Ruth, Naomi and Orpah, it was much more of an internal struggle, much more of an emotional experience than maybe we think of when we read the story? They were all in tears, but Orpah chose to leave. She chose the sensible thing, to go back to her parents and have the chance of marrying again. And Ruth chose to stay. And I bet, like Katie, Naomi tried to convince Ruth to go, but inside she would have been having this internal struggle. After all, her heart was breaking at suggesting the girls leave. But her brain was telling her it was the sensible thing to do. But Ruth, in choosing to do the less rational, less comfortable thing, she also showed what else she was choosing. And there's this famous verse that many of you will know, which we heard this morning read, wherever you go, I will go. Wherever you live, I will live. Your people will be my people and your God will be my God. She even goes on to say, may the Lord punish me severely if I allow anything but death to separate us. I wonder if any of us have ever chosen to follow God, to make a choice that wasn't the sensible thing, wasn't the comfortable or rational thing even, but you made your choice because it meant you were following God. Choosing his way, it involved putting faith in God. Anyone relate to that? Some nods. Our own Pastor Dave, let me ring this. Our own Pastor Dave said at his interview, and again he told me he could share it, that it didn't make any sense to move to Aberdeen. They were comfortable in Edinburgh. They had this great big manse. They had this wonderful congregation who they loved. It was comfortable where he was. But he felt God call him, and he chose to follow. So he gave all that up and came here. You see, it isn't just an easy decision that Ruth makes. We can read it and not understand the emotion and turmoil that such a decision brings. Ruth has to choose to stay or go, to take the easy path or the hard. And it wasn't just a choice to stay with Naomi, but she chose Naomi's God. She put her faith in Naomi and Naomi's God. She made a choice that was going to take her closer to God and leave behind a choice that would have taken her away from God. How do we make decisions? Ruth chose to go with Naomi and follow Naomi's God. For me, I think one of my main considerations in making decisions is I think to myself, am I doing what's right in God's eyes? And the rest doesn't matter. I've always just felt I can't go far wrong if I do that. But of course, sometimes we agonise over a decision, don't we? Sometimes we're unsure of what is God's way. And I think sometimes there is no right way. It was like when we moved to Aberdeen. We looked at houses in West Hill, we looked in Mill Timber, and we looked in Bealside. And I was praying, God, show us which one you want us to buy, show us which house we need to get. And sometimes I think God just says to us, you choose. And after we moved in and we bought the one in Bealside, we met this lovely family who lived in Mill Timber. And I know if I'd have moved into that house in Mill Timber, I'd have met them and thought, ah, that was God's plan. He prepared the way. He prepared these things, these people for us to be really good friends with. And I'd have thought that was God's plan. And if we'd have moved here to West Hill, I'd have thought, God knew. We were going to take 6 months, but we eventually came to West Hill Church. He knew we needed to live in West Hill. But actually, I think God let me see the outcome to each one of those choices, because he wanted me to know his provision's abundant. He's not restricted. There isn't always, this is the path. He can say, you choose, Jill. You choose which house you like. You choose which one you want. And I'll provide everything you need. I'll use you wherever you are. And I think that's the same for all of us. So don't get all caught up in what's the right and wrong way. But there are other times when the choice we make demonstrates faith. So faith is a choice, not once when you decide I'll be a Christian, that's my faith. But it's faith is a decision we make every day, choosing to say yes to God, not just in the big things, but in the little things. We don't know what happened to the other daughter-in-law. All we can do is choose to do the right thing and trust God. That's what Ruth did. We need to make the decision based on, will this draw us closer to God? And sometimes to get to the right place, we need to leave the wrong place. Like Ruth leaving Moab to go to the right place. Sometimes it's more of a spiritual leaving, an emotional leaving, than a physical leaving. Sometimes we need to rebuke the enemy and surrender to God. Sometimes to get to the place where you're closer to God, we need to leave a situation, the place that took us away from God, or leave certain people that are taking us away from God. And we have to make that decision to leave them in order to go closer to God. One choice can change the trajectory of your life and that of your family. So how does God relate to us in our choices? The story about Ruth actually reveals much about God. Ruth and Naomi have no family. And later in the story, Boaz comes along. And Ruth describes herself to Boaz as only a foreigner. But Boaz says, yes, I know. But I also know about everything you've done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband. I've heard of how you left your father and mother and your own land to live here among complete strangers. Boaz says, may the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge, reward you fully for what you have done. Ruth had no family, but God used Boaz, who became her husband, to give her a family. And not just any family. Boaz was described as a wealthy and influential man in Bethlehem. And he reveals himself to be a man of great integrity. So God reveals himself as protector and provider for Ruth, as he provides Boaz for her. And as we make choices that involve integrity and faith, God protects and provides for us. Now, just to put you out of your misery for the end of the holiday story, Katie caught up with us a week later with a new passport. One of the places we went to was Iguazu Falls. Now, when we got there, I'm standing on this platform in Brazil looking at these waterfalls. And suddenly, I was overcome by the presence of God. And I just, the Iguazu Falls, if ever you get to go, they are so beautiful. And you know I'm a bit of a waterfall freak. But they're so majestic, so powerful, so beautiful, and so abundant that it felt for me, I'm standing in the presence of God. This is God. This is who God is. And I'm sobbing. And Paul came over to me, "Are you okay?" And I'm going, "Yes, it's so like God." And to me, it just felt like I met God there. And that's what God is like. His abundance is so big. You can't even imagine how much he loves us and how much he is generous to us, how powerful he is, how loving he is. And I'm often amazed at how God uses a situation that we see as simple and straightforward, but God's ways are so much more rich and multidimensional than we can ever think of. You see, at the end of the book of Ruth, we learn that Ruth became the great-grandmother of David the king. Israel is given the king they need, and Ruth and Naomi are given the family and the protection and all that they need. And then in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 1, we see Ruth mentioned in the genealogy of Jesus. Ruth was an outsider, a racial outsider, but she became one of Jesus' ancestors. God used Ruth and Naomi's situation to show us that it doesn't matter what race you are, if you're an outsider or a prostitute even, because Boaz's mother was Rahab, the prostitute. It doesn't matter what your record is. If you put your faith in Jesus, you can be part of God's family and he will provide for you. Ruth is part of a bigger story than her own. God's plans are so much bigger than our little stories. But sometimes everything goes wrong, doesn't it? Naomi lost her husband and then her two sons. Ruth lost her husband and gave up stability and security and comfort to follow Naomi and her God's ways. If we're faithful to God, even when no one's looking, we may not get everything we want. Ruth and Naomi didn't get the husbands back. But God will leave little handfuls of blessings on purpose for you. Joyce Meyer calls them little winks from God to let you know he's here. I personally enjoy that in my relationship with God. Can anyone relate to that? When you're going through things, suddenly there's this little thing that happens and you think, oh yeah, there's God. I enjoy them probably as much as the big things, to be honest. God does little things to me that keep me encouraged, that may assure me of his presence and his love. And often God's doing this through other people. The shame is sometimes we don't pay attention to them. We don't see them because we're so focused on the thing that's not happening yet. But we don't notice the little things that God is doing in our lives. And sometimes we feel as if we keep getting things wrong, that things will never get better because of our failings. And we're so consumed with that we don't see that God is giving us all these little blessings, all these little love assurances to encourage us. He's not condemning us, but he wants us to see his love and his encouragement. So look for the handfuls of blessing that God leaves on your path. Choose God. Choose to make the decision to do the thing that will cause you to be closer to God, even if it's uncomfortable and nothing's guaranteed. Pray for grace and conviction to do one thing that would take you away from that brokenness and sinfulness of the world and take us towards God's righteousness, his kingdom and his will. If we don't do it, we'll never know the plan God has for us. See how he's going to work in you and through you in that area. Some of you will already know the one thing you need to give up, the choice you need to make, the decision you need to make. Others of you maybe need to ask God, "What is there something I need to give up? What do you want me to do?" And we know God's not a slot machine. It isn't like you put the money in, you put the prayer in, and out comes the jackpot. But we can trust him because he's good. And he'll show us his love and his presence as we travel through life with him and draw closer to him. So remember, when you're making decisions, consider, will this draw me closer to God? And that's how to make your decision. So I'm just going to pray quickly and then hand back to Steve. If it's left you disturbed, anything that I've said, do come forward when we start singing. Just come and sit in the front seats and the ministry team will come and pray for you. Maybe you need to do that. If you've got children, maybe you want to do that in the service so that you can get some prayer before they come in. Just spend some time with God right now. Let's ask him. God, what do you want me to do? In that decision, Lord, what answer, what decision when I make it will draw me closer to you? Give him your negatives, give him your fear, your anxiety, your insecurity. Give him all of that. Take hold of what he gives you. Maybe he'll just pop now a little picture or a verse into your mind. Don't dismiss it, just take it as that's from God to me.